And to that end, I don't even know how to rug people, which is kind of despicable since I've been here since like day one.
What is it, the 114th? Honestly, if two people are left on this podcast, we are the wrong two people to actually know how to do anything that has anything to do with the start of the show.
Yeah, I agree.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
I was wondering who's going to have to say it. You going to try it?
I couldn't try it. I couldn't do it if I wanted to.
Hello. Maybe I can do it a little bit of a Frey accent. Hello. That's not really, that's really a David St. Hubbins accent. Hello. Welcome to Game of Nodes, the validator podcast, something. I mean, we're
podcast of independent validators.
There you go.
Thank validator you. Teams. Validator teams.
You would think after 114, we would get at least some close. So as you can tell, it's only Bolt, Schultze, and Usurper here on number 114 to start. I think it's going to be a full house by the end of this show. But for right now, it's just the two of us. And it's the two of us and the two of us who have no idea either the intro, how to run the controls, anything. I mean, we're really kept people in this situation. Like I'm surprised we actually have access to the buttons.
That's kind of, I mean, I didn't have access for the longest time. I was just sent a link like a guest.
I remember that. I don't know why. I think there was a limit on the number of admins or something like that in StreamYard. And then I asked for it because I needed the recordings because I do all the audio. And then I got that. And then Noel was in there, I think early on. And then you were always a guest. Like, so we had to actually invite you every one. Right? Cause I remember for like the first 100 episodes, the Frey would actually put a link in, like, here you go, Schultze.
Have a login. Yeah. And I'd just be like, okay.
I guess I'll show up. Yeah. So welcome. Here we are. Two of us.
With things to talk about, no less. Very important
we do.
Things to talk about.
We have some news. We can start with that. We can get some of that out of the way before our other co-hosts. Join. Yeah. You and I had a busy week on a bunch of different things that happened this week, actually, with shit breaking and shit not breaking and unbreaking some shit on a bunch of test nets, which I think we could talk about a couple of those. I don't see why not.
Well, the initial one is a public test net now, so we could talk about that for sure.
That's true. Yeah. We've been having a lot of fun with couple thousand nodes on a Tendermint P2P network. Actually, no, like 12,000, 13,000. I should go see what it is right now.
That's 13,000 right now.
Yeah, it doesn't work very well. So we could talk about that a little bit. We could talk about some of the news. I know before we started, we were, as usual, I should say, most of the best content on the show happens off stream. But we were talking, let's talk about Jacob. That's a good topic. We could burn some time with that.
Yeah, let's talk about Jacob.
So this week, and actually, it's happened in the past as well, right? Oh, there we go. Okay, we're already up three. Did you miss the start of that? It was an amazing start we had. No.
Did you guys literally fuck me 3 minutes? So you fuck assed around for another 5 minutes after I left.
We did.
ten minutes.
Almost. We were talking about a bunch of shit, and then we realized, oh yeah, we should be on stream doing this. So what we were talking about actually before while you left us, and then we were talking about Jacob and some of his stuff this week in terms of him, I think, trying to basically break Cosmos Chain. So I'm not sure exactly what he just spamming transactions, or do you know what's going on, Schultz? Like, I don't know what he's doing to actually start locking things up.
I've heard it described as a P2P flood.
Oh, like he's finding endpoints and just flooding P2P channels?
Well, he did also release the script for it. So I can probably pull it up and just read it, see what it does.
He has been doing this same thing for years.
It has been, right? I thought before it was, I thought there was some other stuff that was mempool based though. I thought it was like flooding the mempool or something else and like just shitload of fucking transactions and something would lock up. Maybe it was flooding transactions on a bunch of different validator endpoints that had RPCs open or something, which should not happen.
So here's the funny thing about this to me. So TLDR, what happens is, yeah, he's flooding endpoints to different networks to try and bring the networks down. There is a, I don't know if flaw is the right term, but there's an issue with Tendermint networks where if a node receives said transaction, it'll halt, but it won't do any sort of indication it can't recover. It'll just stop itself, which sucks. And anyone that's like running nodes that this happens to, all they have is like a script that's running and monitors. And if it goes down, they just restart it and it works fine. Ben Davis says it's really long memos on IBC channels. Okay. Interesting. Still trying to find the script for what he's actually doing here. I mean, go ahead.
So in other words, he's finding different ways to show that not everything is done, right? There's more shit to do and there's issues here. And maybe those project teams don't want to handle that, or maybe he's not getting the love he wants out of whomever, right? In terms of the creation of that. But the idea is that he's trying to create some sort of visibility to issues that he feels are not being taken seriously.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it. And like some of them carry some merit. Like I think one of them, I think it might be that IBC memo thing is enough to basically slow down the chain a lot. And I think people have used it in the past, these particular things that he's talking about to like slow down the chain and, you know, benefit commercially from some of the apps running on there by slowing it down.
Well, so that's the funny part, right? Is that he makes the claim that Osmosis isn't affected by this, but Osmosis is the one that was affected by this originally, right? Shouldn't say originally, but go ahead.
Well, I think, I think that there was an occasion where this was happening on Osmosis. I'm not sure if they patched it or not, but this was happening. And then there was, I believe maybe that caused some issues with Lavana. I might be talking out of turn. I can't really recall the exact situation. It was a while ago now.
I'm not finding the script, by the way.
I do remember him. Yeah, I remember him post, or at least he probably has a bunch, right? Is that in the Notional GitHub or maybe in his own?
I'm looking at the Notional one right now. I'm going to find his after that.
So Ben says, Osmosis made the changes to make the attack more expensive, which makes sense. So Jacob's post from, I guess, when was this? This was a couple days ago? Yesterday. Today I stopped Archway from making blocks on a routine schedule for about 15 minutes. It took about 15 minutes to go 15 blocks. It would normally take 66 seconds. Attacks like these could be used to screw with oracles and mess up with other DeFi systems. I'm not sure about the oracle thing. I guess it depends on how the oracle's interacting, but yeah, it can clearly fuck things up. The key to preventing these attacks is actually test your own chain until you understand how it reacts under load. Every chain is unique. It will react in unique ways. I mean, this shit is, yeah, okay. I mean, I get it. I kind of don't mind a little of this. Like this is, it's a little bit white hat, I guess, maybe if you want to say it. I don't know if it's that elegant, but being able to shit on something that's in production and be able to create issues that need to be solved. And as Ben said, Osmosis made changes to make that attack more expensive and things like that. Like, I kind of don't have a problem with that. And maybe mainnet's not the best way, but if teams are ignoring it and there is things to be fixed and it's not necessarily harmful, like delaying a change for 15 minutes doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. I don't know. What's the problem?
I think my problem with it is it's what exactly is the benefit of this? Like, a lot of these things are already known, right? Like, yeah, we want them fixed, but do we want them fixed at the expense of the network being brought down and kind of like the bad press due to it? And it hasn't actually happened really in production yet, as far as I'm aware. So there isn't even an attack threshold right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I guess what's the benefit? I guess maybe he feels that if he's, you know, if he's saying these are issues and he's not getting traction, then I don't know, maybe this is how he feels like he can get the traction that he wants. Maybe. Yeah.
Which I don't think really furthers his cause as much. I get it.
But this is like the, this exact same scenario has happened a number of times now. And
right.
You know, it's a problem, like people make noise for a couple of days, or he makes noise for a couple, and then it goes away for months, and then he'll do it again, and then it's never getting fixed. I don't know if the people, like if the developers see it as like a, you know, like a big problem or just a niggling itch type situation.
Right. Yep. And I think Rama just says he gets to be right, and I also think there, I mean, this process, this piece of it is definitely ego, right? Like if you wanted to solve it as an engineer, you would probably find multiple ways to be able to do that, right? So I do agree with that. I think there's a bunch of that goes in as well, right? But I mean, that's you kind of get that a little bit with in this situation. Anyway, are we done with this topic?
This from
this one,
the spreadsheet?
It was, yeah. Larchain, who asked, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jacob Gedakian. I think I have that right.
I always pronounce it as Gedakian.
Gedakian? You're probably right. It's always in my head, so I don't really say it out loud that much. So,
I mean, the partially interesting thing about this is that it does kind of apply to what we were talking about earlier with Anisha, in that, you know, Tendermint has an issue with ingress on their nodes in some way, shape, or form. I can't tell you exactly what the issue is, but when there's a bunch of nodes on the network, when there's a bunch of transactions coming in, Tendermint networks have a hard time, or I guess Comet BTF networks have a hard time coming to consensus when that happens. The nodes just start to slow down, they start to halt. And for what Gedakian is doing, he's just showing that it's a widespread issue. And then for Anisha, there are 13,000 or so odd nodes on that network. And similarly, like, it slowed down. I can show you the last 3 days of block speeds, and it's just been kind of slowing down more and more and more. I can't tell you why, but there is something that probably should be looked at here.
I assume that's, actually, a number of nodes on Anisha have somewhat, I think, stalled, right? Like, I don't think it's growing as early as much as it was in the past. Let me take a look real quick and see where we are. But I thought we were, it was actually at least slowing down a little bit. Can look at scan. But yeah, I mean, we have seen that in the past, right? I mean, it just doesn't do well. And I don't know, but with short block times and this many nodes and the quality of those nodes and validators trying to communicate across 13,000 nodes to communicate some sort of, you know, yeah, there's 12,851 now that are inactive. But communicating across that structure, I think makes it's just been brutal. You know what I mean? So the one good news is like our signing percentage right now. Well, yesterday we were all dealing with a bunch of issues with Anisha, which was that there was, you know, 13,000 nodes that are at least, I don't know if they're all active, but whatever they are. And, we started to see anytime I had a few nodes that were communicating within for Horcrux nodes, and then they were sending out and all that kind of stuff was working fine. And I ended up rebooting one or restarting the service, and I lost all my good peers, and I got peered with God knows what. And my signing rate started to plummet significantly. And so just this morning, actually, the Anisha team, I think recognizing, maybe with your help too, Schultzy, was that, hey, this P2P doesn't really work here 100% with 13,000 nodes trying to communicate in 1 second block times or whatever it is. And so they started to do some really heavy private peering, which was the idea that you can basically try to shrink the validator set down where those validators are only communicating with each other. And then you'd have other nodes that were communicating out, or right, like we have other nodes that are RPC nodes that are communicating. And then so those other nodes can still get block data, obviously, but at least you're trying to reduce the number of hops between specific validator nodes. Not ideal, right? But it does help with signing, at least, and it does at least get us past this. I don't think in mainnet the idea of having 13 or 14,000 nodes is realistic, but it's helped a lot in the last little bit here.
We should try and get the initial folks on here so they can ask some questions. Like, I know there's this idea of a Minisha, which is like a kind of like a scalable way of creating chains, like an L2 off of them. But I haven't seen a lot of discussion around them right now. And I know that it's like one of their big selling points as Anisha. So I mean, it makes them a competitor to Saga and Dimension, which is very compelling to me, especially with Anisha including Move.
Right. Right. I do love the idea of staking right to an LP. It's fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
It's fucking awesome. Like that part of that's been really cool. The Jenny side I could do without, but whatever. But I'm really surprised at the number of people that are involved in on the end user side in testnet. I'm not sure. Like, do you know what ecosystems that's really pulling from? Is that like, that's beyond Cosmos, right? Is that like, is it just pulling in like Move individuals and everything else that are getting involved in that? Or like, it just seems really large to me.
It is. It is for sure. at ETH Denver, there was a Move event, and it was huge. It included the Move Foundation. Move. There's a Move team that just focuses on developing
Move. Move Labs? Is that what it is? I'll put the link. Maybe. But yeah.
Yeah. And that was probably, aside from the Barrachain event, it was probably the most popular event that I attended at ETH Denver.
Yeah.
Which is great. But for this testnet, the first public testnet, oh my God, it's been wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Each block is, well, right now it's a little bit less, but before it was 200 to 300 transactions a block consistently with a huge mempool and I think they're about 1 second right now. It looks like about 2 second blocks plus or minus, something like that. Depends on what's going on.
Yeah. So I had lost a lot of my block history because I'd, you know, reset the nodes. But if I look back in the last 2 days, for a while I was sitting at 5,000 blocks in my mempool, just kind of constantly. I'll post a link to my public dashboard so people can see it.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's been crazy. So right now I'm saying 100%, which has never happened on this testnet, I don't think. And I think with the reduced validator set, now they're somewhat better peered, and now they even the stakeout a little bit too, because before it was a little bit ugly, and trying to get like a smaller number of validators that are a little bit more equal. And I think that's helped out a lot as well. So it's doing a little bit better. It's not the most, this is not the most diversified set in the universe, right? But at least for this testnet and with the number of people involved and some of the incentivizes, hey, run a node and do this stuff. And so people like in the validator channel, there's just a shitload of people that are just trying to figure out how to run nodes, which is totally fine. Like I get it. Like it's cool. But that also
is the point of a testnet, right?
I don't know. Is it to run a node?
No, to like if you have interest, then that's where you do it. You don't want people fucking YOLOing into mainnets all over the place. But that is part of the reason for testnets, is for people to learn. And it's it's a new thing.
We're that's all how we got there. That's true. I agree. And I enjoy what they're doing in order to introduce Anish itself. I'll pull up the Jenny thing so people can play around with it. Jenny is like, there are these steps that you can do to create an NFT, and they are pretty cool. I think you'll like them.
Yeah. The whole keeping that thing alive, though, I know that thing's going to die on me, because you have to like feed it every week or something, and I know that's not me, man.
Like a Tamagotchi?
It's a total Tamagotchi. You need to, like, you got to earn XP to get food to feed the thing.
Yep.
There's no fucking way this thing's dead. In like, I need like automation. I can't have manual tasks. Literally, how many manual tasks do I do? I can't add more to keep this thing alive.
Hey man, you can make a bash script. You can be a bash kitty.
Maybe. No, because like all the XP, like little, you got to do like little adventures. Go stake this. Go do this. Go do that. Do that. Maybe I could do some of that.
AI.
Yeah. Now that you said that, one of the cool little sites, which actually we talked about internally, which is in within the Anisha. I'll put some of the, you guys can mess with this too for folks who are interested in it. Within the initial app, which is app.testnet.anisha.xyz, there is a NFT AI thing called Init AI, which is init-ai.testnet.initia.xyz, which is pretty fun. So they have different collections. You can create a collection, and basically you pick a theme, and then it just basically you pay a minting fee, and it basically takes an idea and shoves it into whatever, ChatGPT, where the hell's behind this, I have no idea. And it basically creates a unique NFT, and then it gets assigned to that collection, and you obviously own that NFT. So there's a shitload of collections in there. It's kind of an interesting idea. It'd be interesting to take this. This is a little bit too wide open, but it's a really cool idea to figure out and do more with. So there's some fun collections in there, and there's some kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying what the Anisha team is doing.
Yeah, this is them. I think this is them too, right? Because we looked at this is the Anisha team.
How long has this testnet been running for?
Ooh, not long at all.
A week?
Like a week, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe a week.
Looks like I'll have to YOLO into that. I'm sure I'm too late, but yeah. I just joined their Discord while you were talking. I've heard it mentioned a couple of times by the squad, but I just been busy with other things. So
yeah. You can't do them all.
Yeah, man. And it's hard to always know which networks to join, right? Like that's the difficult thing.
It's impossible.
But I think that Anisha is a good one to try and get into. I think especially just like interacting with the team themselves, because you know I've a direct line with them. Very smart, fun to interact with. Mm-hmm. They don't mess around. They're great.
Yeah.
And they're open to feedback. I think that's the one thing that I appreciate the most, is that if I see something going on, I can be like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I think the solution should be. And they're like, okay, great. We'll look into it. And then typically within a few hours, they're like, okay, so we looked into this and here are a couple options we can actually address it with. Yeah. Love that from a team. I love that a team is open to feedback and are willing to make changes. Yeah. Even whenever it won't necessarily improve the experience that much, but just knowing that someone cares enough to message that they think it's important enough to address. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I've seen that in the Valve channel too, right? Because I think the aspect of some of these settings, I think that the tenement knowledge is still growing, right? Maybe and there's so much layers of all these types of things, but I agree. Like just being able to listen to that feedback and like take some ideas, or here's what we think we're gonna be able to do, or try these settings changes or other types of things has been really cool. Which doesn't necessarily happen. We're in another test net where it's kind of like, I don't know.
Don't say it.
Null. It's a bit like,
don't say the inside words on the outside, man.
It's a bit like good luck and we're watching.
Yeah.
Don't say it. It's been a bastard of a few weeks for certain things. What changes happening around the place, isn't there?
Yeah,
there's a lot of tension in the market right now, it seems. Both in just networks as well as the market.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of stress floating around. I think a lot of people sort of, you know, did it tough during the bear market, and then we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel when the markets rallied a little bit. Saw a lot of enthusiasm come back and people come back out of the woodwork. Validators you haven't seen post in fucking 10 years start posting. And then it all sort of stalled. And I think everyone's like, fuck, I hope that was not it, because we're deep in the hole. And I'm like, manage your finances, man. But yeah, look, I mean, hopefully that wasn't it, but no, if it isn't.
I know it's been a bit of a slow slide since that Ethereum 30% jump or whatever it was.
The one like a couple of days ago with the news on the ETF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were saying it was going to get approved yesterday, right? I was like, it's going to get approved.
Oh, was it?
Were they?
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, I believe that's why it jumped like 20-30%. There was speculation that you know, because of the election and everything coming up over in the States. And I think Trump's come out and said that, you know, this is gleaning, not too into American politics, but I believe Trump came out as like, you know, in support of crypto as part of his, you know, campaign. And then I think the current administration have gone, oh, fuck, well, that seems like a popular move, so maybe we had better be like less fuck you crypto. And so I believe that then there was like speculation that, oh, Gary G was going to do some backflips and start approving stuff, but maybe not. I don't know.
And there was,
speaking of an election, this is totally unrelated, but I thought I'd share because I think it's really funny. So I live in Oregon, and Oregon's kind of divided into two sections, like Western Oregon and Eastern Oregon. Eastern Oregon has very few people living there. Western Oregon has like 99% of the population. Well, Western or Eastern Oregon is next to Idaho, and they just voted to secede and join Idaho to become Greater Idaho.
I just saw that happen. I just saw that Crook County on its way to become the 13th county in Oregon to vote for succession and join Idaho. The yes is leading 53-47%.
Yeah.
Which they want to make the border.
Why join Idaho? What's the...
Idaho is significantly more conservative than Oregon. And so they feel like Idaho better represents their interests. I mean, there's like... It's a very half-baked idea. Like, one of the biggest complaints is like the services they receive from Oregon in general, which is quite a bit. But Idaho's minimum wage, for one, is much lower than Oregon's. So then suddenly most people work in minimum wage in Crook County and the other eastern Oregon counties. And so like their pay cut will suddenly happen. Suddenly they'll pay more in taxes because Idaho has higher property taxes and sales taxes. And like there's all these different things that just add up to like, boy, is this half-baked. But also, like, why would Oregon give up, you know, 70% of their land mass?
It's so funny, dude.
And it's all because of minimum wage, basically.
Not because of minimum wage. I think more just has to do with the politics. But the funny part, too, is that Idaho has banned abortions. And so a lot of gynecologists have left to join Oregon. And so a lot of people from Idaho go to Oregon to go to like their gynecologist appointments. And so then if part of Oregon joined Idaho, then they'd have to go even further. And it's just, God.
They just completely banned abortions? I find it hard to believe that across a country there's like all these different laws regarding that kind of stuff, like in the
That was the whole thing. There used to be a countrywide, there used to be a federal ban, and they repealed that. And then so now they push it down to the states. And so in the states can make their own decisions associated with that, which means the doctors in those states, the population in that state, like basically starts to decide what's going to happen. So it's really, I mean, it becomes, yeah, it can, I mean, and it's like state sovereignty, like I'm not against that idea. Like, and I'm not saying for this specific topic, but the idea that states might have different structures in terms of that meet their own needs, it's kind of what this country is built on. So I really have necessarily a problem with that. And these guys in Eastern Oregon wanted to make that change. Like, good luck to you. Like, vote for it and see what happens, right? Like, there's nothing that says the lines can't move. And maybe the grass is always greener, right? But some things, I do think that there are some federal things that should be in place. And there's a, both from a finance perspective and other types of things, I think are important. And so, I don't know. It's a weird balance here in the U.S. with that stuff.
It is. And Idaho specifically has one of the more stringent rules around abortion out of the abortion banning states. Like the way they've addressed it is abortion is basically banned. And if there's any sort of like whiff of abortion, be that like a pap smear that goes wrong, then the doctors are personally held liable. So that's why a lot of doctors have been leaving Idaho, because they're like, well, I don't want to put up with that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
So back on the pump, I think it's over. It's
a better topic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a better topic for sure.
Yeah, so pump. Yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully there's some more traction in that regard and those things. Maybe we see some more market. I talk about this previously. I still don't think we've seen like the catalyst we need to get this ship. Yeah. Moving for like this particular harvesting, so
yeah, agreed.
Just I don't know, probably just gonna end up a bag holder like last bull market. Exactly. Take all that shit coin to my grave.
I mean, Bitcoin's pushing 70,000 right now, still, it's like right there, it's holding
still
on,
bumping
it's
off ATH. Yeah. Yeah, it's all the altcoins that mm-hmm. I mean, ETH's still back up around
3,700. 3,750, 3,770. Yeah. It's holding them. It was up at, what was it? Was it over? Did it peak 4K or no? I don't think so, right?
It crested 4K earlier this year. Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
Oh,
yeah,
not this week.
Not this week. No, not this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was about the ATH was, well, you know, yeah. The recent high was about 4K. So yeah. I'm surprised. It seems to be running in step with Bitcoin, more or less.
Well, I mean, it wasn't until this news now, and then now, I mean, I mean, year to date, it might be now, but yeah, I agree. The alts are not really holding on the same level, right?
I don't know why my shit coins aren't pumping. That's a bit disappointing. surefire way to make sure your project won't proceed. Let me buy some of it.
let's see. the stuff that we run, exciting stuff coming. Say V2 is Monday. That's something. Bunch of new projects launching.
The Say V2 upgrade and with it new applications and hype, I suppose.
Step one. Yeah, correct. Step one is Monday. So that'll be good.
Three phases.
That's pretty cool.
Three
phases. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what they are, but I know this first one is the upgrade.
Step one.
No, there's
software.
Step
one.
Exactly. The rest of them seem to be not involving me. But yeah, step one was definitely that. That'll be cool. There's a bunch of new stuff that's launching. We can talk about it maybe more next week after we get past it, but that's exciting. So that'll be cool. I'm not sure if it really does anything to price at all, because it seems like, again, might be more step three and beyond that does something with that, but whatever. Not really necessarily concerned about that.
You know, something completely unrelated. So working the last couple of days on updating some monitoring, and man, I did not realize how fast Solana was in terms of like blocks per second speed. It's
bloody,
actually pretty quick.
Bloody fast.
Yeah. No wonder it's like jamming the hardware pretty hard.
2.5 blocks a second, right? Is that what it is? 400 mils? It's like 300, 400 milliseconds.
Yeah, probably about that. I'd say probably closer to 2 blocks per second.
Yeah.
According to my monitoring, but, you know, fucking.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the monitoring you just created like 10 minutes ago?
Yeah. The one I uploaded 10 minutes ago, I created it yesterday. So.
Oh, okay. I'm going to pull it in.
Yeah. So
we all made it. Let's get in there.
Hey.
There we go. What's happening?
Yeah, I don't recommend hospital. That's the hot news.
That's the hotness?
Isn't that always the recommendation? That's a standing recommendation of just like, don't. Try not to.
I mean, I have to say, it's kind of obvious in hindsight, isn't it? But that was a trying evening. But everybody is okay and everything is fine. So how's everybody doing?
You get to sit in your futon, join Game of Nodes.
I probably look like a husk of a man, and I am. And I've just got a bag of tweets here. And we'll see how long I last. And then I'm going to go to bed.
We've covered Jacob. Say it again, Chelsea.
Gadikin?
I say Gadikian.
Gadikian. I think that's right. I think that might be right. That might be like, who works at Quasar, right?
That's right.
Quasar?
We talked about Jake a little bit.
No.
We're just talking about pronunciations.
He's fucking.
I'm going to explain the jokes on show.
He's still around. He hasn't just like gone quietly into the night.
No, he's coming
back. Ooh, it's time to circle back around on this topic to see what you think about it. So a couple days ago, Gadikian did a denial of service attack on a couple of chains. I know Archway and Territory as a minimum two, but basically he just brought them down to show that they could be brought down. Slow them down is probably more correct.
Yeah.
To show either A, the importance of fixing it, or B, how important he is. Not sure which.
Well, I saw you had your Twitter account had a bit of a skirmish, Schultzy.
Oh, did it? Ooh, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever's running that, was having a light skirmish.
Oh man, Erdman can put that down sounds like Erdman. Yeah, it's great. Exactly. Yeah,
that sounds like Erdman. That's funny. Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about a little crypto. I don't know, regulation, abortion. We hit all the major topics, honestly.
Oh, crypto regulation is that a thing?
Is that the one you were interested in?
Yeah. Last week on the show, I was like, oh, there's a bunch of people talking about how it's going to change here, and I was like, why the fuck does anybody care? There is about to be the current government is in a plane flying directly into a mountain why do you care what they think? They're not going to, they have no legislative power left. The election got declared 2 hours before this poddo, something like that.
What, to set an election date, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a snap. There is in the UK now, there's a snap election on the 4th of July, a date that has no other historical significance. There was something scratching at the back of my head. Date rings a bell. So. I couldn't think of anything, though. So, if you're listening back on podcast players and you can remember what there's definitely something else. I don't know. Maybe some country has one of those we all eat foie gras or something days, some weird food stuff. I don't know. So that got announced earlier, and that was hilarious because, this will only make sense to British people, but the Prime Minister had to stand in the rain, announcing there was going to be an election, which will he's definitely going to lose. He's going to lose by a generational landslide. In the background, somebody had rolled out a sound system and was playing a very old, very shit pop song called Things Will Only Get Better, which was used the last time an incumbent Tory government was smashed by a landslide in 1997. And it was played so loud that on the news coverage of his speech, you can't
remember that hear story.
What he's saying.
You could hear it in the background while he's talking over it, right?
He's literally standing in the rain, getting rained on. And you could tell he is just dead-eyed trying to get through it. And there's just, you could just hear this song in the background really loudly. And you just know that because it's a street full of political journalists. I mean, even normal people would know the reference. It's just a street full of people who are behind their cameras laughing at him. They will be to his face laughing at him when they hear that song.
What's a piece of that? What's that to do with it?
So there were a bunch of prospective new potential legislation for things that had been announced sort of maybe by the current government. And there were also some lobby groups did this big event at the House of Commons, I think, a few days ago. And it was all sucking up to the Tories. And you're like, why bother? They're about to be fucking in the ground for at least 5 years. Hopefully more. Crazy. Fuck. Nice. The other guys are going to be marginally better. They might put some more money into hospitals, which would be good. But at least the fuckers will be out for once for the first time in my adult life. So that's something. So...
That's mine.
Have they been in power for
that? You have that to look forward to.
Yeah, and then I'm going to mint. I have to mint that NFT collection. Every time they lose a seat, I'll mint an NFT or something.
That's funny.
Yeah, my only regret is I'm not going to be at home when it happens. I'm going to be traveling, and normally it's really good. I live in a very lairy, loud city that's quite political. And if you go to any pub on election night, it's a fucking shit show. It's just a big party because whether or not it goes your way or not, people, broadly speaking, are overwhelmingly in kind of one general direction here. So people just have a good time. They take the piss. There are lots of jokes, whatever. And that's from somebody who's lost every election I've had as an adult where I've been able to vote has gone drastically against what I would have voted for. And it's still a good time. So this time, you even get a tiny fraction of what you might want. So that's, anyway, whatever. Happy days. That's not very related.
I will say I like that city way more now that I've been there where you're living. I used to think of it, that's not nice. I'm not going to say that. I like it. It's great.
I used to think it was a shithole. And then I realized it's a shithole with a certain amount of charm.
It's a charming show.
It's no Chicago or somewhere that has a. I don't know why I just said Chicago. I really like Chicago. Out of all the American cities,
I like Chicago. I like Chicago.
It's got that great mix of it feels like it's a working city, but there is culture and things to do there. But it's also just it's got good shit going on, for the local people that have communities that care about shit, like music scenes and stuff like that.
That's correct.
I don't know if that's all gentrified out in the last 10 years or something, but
you're from Chicago originally, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The thing I like about Chicago, and this is getting real deep into like civil infrastructure. I really like the alleyways behind most buildings.
On
like
the
most
city streets. Yeah. That's
very well thought out.
My grandparents lived on one of those. So I grew up on those things where I used to ride my big wheel and green machine, both of them. And then there's an alley. Then the alley, like the house is backing up to each other, right? And there's an alley in the middle, and the garages face all
you're basically the kid in a film where it's like Tom Hanks pretending to be a kid when he's like 25 or something. That's literally you. Wait, that actually was big. A film. That's Big. I've just described Big.
Yeah,
Big.
That's New York, though. But that was the same thing. Like you have street. So each street, you have homes facing each other, then you have an alley that runs down the middle, and then all the garages and the garbage and all that shit would be in there. And then you'd have, and you could, it was always like rock. For us, it was always rock. It wasn't like actually paved or concrete or anything like that. And then we'd ride bikes down there, and like we used to do like how long, like a skid contest and that kind of shit, right? And then you'd always yell across that alley to like somebody else, or they'd yell at you, like, come over, go swimming. Like that kind of shit. It was always fun to have neighbors like that close, right? Like, it was kind of like, because out in front of your house, nothing happened, but out the back of the house, it was like this, you know,
there's always party that shit going
on. It's where the party was.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. It's like a really weird thing. One of the things I like about Chicago is like the way there's kind of almost like the island bit because of all the bridges and the way the river goes.
Oh, yeah, the loop. Yeah,
and then like downtown is almost like on an island, and then it's got the L train, like the raised train.
That's right.
It's super cool. Elevated. Like the architecture of it is really cool in that way.
It is. It's noisy.
Yeah.
It's like, the elevated like creates all that noise up there, which it sounds like things are happening.
It's very vibey. Right? It's got a very vibey. It's kind of like it's very like a late 90s like or PS2 maybe early PS2 video game version of something. I don't know. It's just
kind of like Driver kind of thing. It
doesn't feel quite real. Like as a non-American, you go to Chicago and you're like, this is like New York. You're like, oh, you've seen it so much on TV. You're just like, yeah, New York is New York. Right. LA is a shithole. You're just like, yep, LA is a shithole. Can confirm. Food's really good, but it's a shithole. But like Chicago is
there's no downtown. It's just LA is a suburbs, right? So you're everything's far, right?
LA is just a bonkers place. Totally bonkers.
Yeah.
I've been there a few times. Every time I'm like, why the fuck am I here? And then I have a really good meal. I'm like, oh yeah, it's really tasty here. But unless I'm visiting somebody, I literally only go there to visit people or family, friends and things. And you're like, oh yeah, there's good people who live here. It's good people who live here. And then like, you find yourself like trying to walk anywhere or go anywhere or do anything. And you're like, oh, this is the most tedious city on earth. It fucking sucks.
Well, and the arrogance of calling it the Inland Empire.
Oh, really?
Who said that?
Yeah, that's what they call themselves, the Inland
LA?
Empire. Yeah.
Oh, really?
There's even like a magazine called the Inland Empire. Yeah, I used to work for a company that was over there, and everyone referred to it as the Inland Empire. Yeah, for sure.
Jesus, that's awful.
Chicago's a better city anyway. I like Chicago. I was in the lake, and it's almost like it's the sea. Is really that's I partly grew up by the sea, and that really shitted like me because I was like, oh wait, hang on a minute, we are a long way away from the sea. And then it's like pretty. I know that you do get storms and stuff, but it's quite flat, and you're like,
it's incredibly flat. Like I used to ride for like 40 miles and stuff in Chicago, and like I can't do that here, but. Yeah, it's incredibly flat. And Lake Michigan actually is in pretty good shape. I mean, you can definitely, we used to swim in all the time. And then we used to always vacation on the other side of the lake and go over to like, towards like Holland, Michigan, that area, which is like Lake Michigan there is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, I guess
sun goes down
that side. The only criticism possibly of Chicago, now I think about it, is that the whole city is actually quite flat, isn't it? Because it's basically on a plumb.
Oh, it's fucking dead flat.
Which does violate one of Frey's golden rules for classic city, which is you need to have at least one kind of vantage point on a hill. Like I really like the Voight Tower.
It's called the Sears Tower, friend.
Voight Tower in San Francisco.
Great. It's called the Sears Tower. That's all you got. You go up in a man-made building,
you mean the Willis
and
Tower.
You look for 1,000 miles there. Exactly.
get your facts right.
It's called,
but because I partly grew up fucking everywhere. Apparently I really like the city Bristol in the UK, where it's sort of like, it's almost built into a hill, with like a big then downs. What the fuck? What What's a down? A down is like a big park?
Hole.
A big park, like
oh yeah.
Like but a, like wild.
Yeah, like a down.
Like
yeah.
Like a hill, like a rolling hill. That's a down, okay. I guess.
Might be the only time I've ever heard the word down used in like polite company. Not that this is polite company, but when I think of downs, I don't think of like someone actually using it in conversation.
You guys, did you guys ever have that harrowing children's story called Watership Down?
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
So it's like there's the rolling hills, and each one of them is like they're kind of the downs. So that's Bristol basically is built up towards the downs, which is like where the beginning of is. I guess it maybe is the beginning of the Mendips. Somebody with better regional geography can tell me. But anyway, it's really cool because there is a bunch of places in the city where you can kind of look out around the city and you're like, ah, that's kind of cool. I think Chicago needs like one non-man-made, just like a hill.
here's a good story. So
that would be 10 out of 10.
I grew up in the suburbs outside the city, and I lived downtown when I was out of college and all that kind of stuff. But growing up outside the city, like my wife is where I'm from, which has like my wife is from where we live now, which is pretty hilly, right? Like has some pretty significant hills and some of the steepest hills in the US.
I feel like you are even underselling it saying that.
It's pretty hilly.
The city is being like overcome by trees in all directions. I feel like I was under assault by forests whenever I was visiting.
Like if you have a bike here, you want to ride in the streets, you literally cannot do it. Unless like one of you two, because you're constantly
like
up or down 30% gain, and like it's brutal, right? Like Chicago, like you can lounge around. Let's get bikes. Let's go for a ride. Here, you're like 2 minutes. You're like, get me the fuck off this thing, because you're instantly you come out of your driveway and you're going up like 22%, right?
Oh, sounds like a dream.
Exactly. I'm sure
if it's not over 20%, why are you
an oatmeal bed and packing your bag or whatever the fuck you're doing? Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah, that. But if you want to go for a my kids ride their bike to school and they're sweating their ass off, and like the school's only a half a mile away, right? Anyway, so anyway, where I grew up in Chicago, we had a sledding hill by our house, and the sledding hill I thought was fucking huge. Like it just seemed like when I was a kid, like we go to this huge, we're going to the park, we're going to the hill. We used to call it a hill, and we used to have a fort in the side of the hill, and there's this huge sledding hill and all this kind of stuff. And now I go back to it, and my wife laughing her ass off. She's like, "You sledded on this? It looks like our backyard. If I took half the grade off of it, it is the saddest looking fucking thing I've ever seen." We drove past it like a bunch of years ago when my kids were really young, and my. So literally, my wife is rolling on the ground. She's like, what do you do with this thing? And I look at it now. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? It literally is like the saddest goddamn thing. Like, if you Google like Chicago sledding hills, there has to be a fun page about this, because these kids, we didn't know shit. Like, we went 4 miles an hour. We're like, woo! Now, like, my kids slid out the back of this hill. Like, we slid out the back of a door here, and they have to make sure that they don't get like decapitated. Like they'll be doing 60 miles an hour towards a tree or something. So, but oh my God, it's so funny. All right. Maybe not that funny. Here's another news.
Okay. I was just thinking like how jealous I was of the fact that you consistently get sledding. Cause the Gulf Stream here, like it gets cold in winter, but very rarely do you get the right mix of conditions to get snow that's usable.
We get for about, I would say about a month a year. Good sledding.
Good
sledding. Or we go up to the mountains up here. And
a couple of times when I was younger, like, maybe. But
maybe like huge shit too. Yeah.
It's really nice.
So, all right. Now. I was curious. Yeah. I looked up sledding hills in Chicago, and you're right. They're goofy. They're like this grade. You can tell that the cameraman had to like do just the right angle so it made it look steep.
Put the camera
and
on most the floor.
Of them they didn't pull. Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny. I mean, you grow up in the Mad Cat says it always looks bigger when you're younger. Yes, that's true. But also, when you grow up in a place that is flat, like you could see the horizon in every direction, right? like those types of things.
Well, so when you get to a hill, I've just googled it too. Some of those are
it's goofy.
Flat. Some of those are flat. So you know, like I don't know if you guys have ever skied or whatever, but you know how when they get like if you get like France, Italy, Switzerland, I guess probably America actually, because you guys have skiing. And they get like the 3-year-olds out. And then they put them on the skis and just push them, and then they just go, and you just see them screaming past. like physically screaming, not they're going screaming fast. They're just going quite slowly in a snowplow, but they're screaming their heads off because it's the most terrifying thing in the world. And I remember that being like, I am going at a million miles an hour. And then you see them and they're literally on the flat bit by the bar and all the parents are there just like drinking, being like, yep, you're doing a great job, little one. Off you go. And it's just like, it's like 1 degree gradient. Do you know what I mean? That's like, that's the sledding hills. They're just the little bit where they just, they're like, yeah, you just strap on the thing and go, and all the adults are drunk because you can't go fast. So
someone give me a push. I could go in somehow.
That's exactly right.
That's the thing, that, like, surprised that if you go to those places now in the summer, because of the whole global warming thing, they're pushing like mountain biking really strongly. And there's a massive difference between a green run on skis and a green run on a mountain bike. Cause like on skis, you're like, well, it's like the gradient's like 5% or whatever. Like no matter how quickly you go, worst case scenario, you tip over, you land on snow, right? If you tip over on a mountain bike on that, you are sliding on gravel, my boy. Like,
yeah, but also there's a lot of hazards that represent themselves again after the snow melts, like, you know, logs and trees and shit.
Yeah, it looks like genuinely, I don't know, like I don't know any statistics. I don't know whether this is true, but it seems like a much more dangerous sport is my general impression. Like, I mean, you can land on ice, but even ice seems like more forgiving than gravel and tree roots.
I don't know, like, maybe, well, you tend to do a lot of dangerous shit when you're snowboarding or skiing there, right? It's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you're on a push bike, you sort of follow the trail and you do your little skids around turns and shit. But when you're like on a snowboard, you just find a cliff and bomb off the edge of it. Like, I feel like you don't know what's under there.
You're an
all-mountain
guy, huh?
And you can go into like tree wells. Ah, fucking who goes through the snow and stays on the groomer? Like,
I this guy, I am. Yeah, I'm.
I do.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a
groomer guy.
I'm a front side. Yeah, I'm like a proper front side.
Have you seen the hills I've sled in?
the first thing I go when I go snowboarding, I'm like, where is the edge of this piste? Because that's where I want to be. <You're> fucking straight under the helicopter or something. Under the rope. It's just like, where's the rope so I can go under it and find them trees, my boy, and then get coat hanged by branches and shit. Good fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was just watching, like, while we were talking about sledding, NVIDIA posted results today. Do you guys watch this at all? I always watch like AI based type things.
So, okay. Predictions. I haven't seen it. I mean, they've basically got the AI market cornered in terms of hardware. Like, I've seen some of the shit that they've, like, that's been at the trade shows and stuff that they're putting together, like, is, you know, all in one sort of AI in your office type back at fucking helmet, and they're doing some shit. I'm going to say that it was a good quarter, but I'm going to say that it has fallen short of expectations in terms of the price appreciation of the token.
The token.
It's hard to get out of the habit, isn't it?
I think they had expectations this quarter of, like, I think 24 billion in the quarter, and they reported 26, up 18% from Q4, and they were up 262% from Q1 a year ago, because they're a little bit off. This is Q1 2025 for them.
That is insane.
The data center revenue is $22.6 billion, up 23% from Q4 and 427% from a year ago.
And they're not even thieving from gamers this year.
They're not. So the data center revenue is up 427% from a year ago. If you actually look at the quarterly revenue over, I mean, you want to see where the money's going, boys. The actual still at a 78% gross margin. Like, what the fuck? And where's that? I had a nice graph, but I think how much
gross 78,
margin? 78.4%.
Fucking hell. You know that they've got a fucking monopoly on a market when your margins are 78%.
26 billion in revenue on 17 billion on operating income, 14.8 on net income.
That's
fucking insane. $6 a share. Unbelievable. I didn't want to buy the stock. It's at $500. I'm like, this is totally overpriced. Good. Smart. Smart. Yeah. No, they have a just a fucking blowout quarter again. And they projected $28 billion for this next quarter. So whatever that is, I don't know what it is, but
the problem with massive quarters is that, you know, they're experiencing like a boom on supply, right? Because they can charge those massive margins because there's like no one else is supplying that type of stuff. But also like a lot of people have come on market and wanted this stuff all at once, right? What happens to that share price after the demand falls off? And then, you know, you get this it's like an unsustainable temporary boon in the market. Like, I don't think that this type of demand will continue into infinity. Like, you know, gamer cards, that there's a new one every, you know, year. I think they're pushing the technology already to the limit of what they can do with these, you know, A100s. And I don't think it's going to be the same type of market where everyone's like, oh, geez, I need to like retrofit my data center with the A101 this year. You know what I mean? It's not like a recurring market. So
I agree with you, but that's be interesting. But I don't know if this is a spike or if this is just the new normal of sales, right? You know what I mean? So like,
that means there has to be more and more and more and more and more, you know, people coming online with and needing more capacity. Where I think you've seen like a massive spike in all of these startups, right? And all needing their own hardware. And then, you know, once those orders are filled, you need either more startups or you need people needing more shit.
So, well, I know both Amazon and Azure are building these things. Like, they're both in this market to try to build these things themselves, because why wouldn't they? Like, why do they want to depend on somebody else for that ability to be able to drive that many IOPS, right? Or whatever the hell they call it, whatever the fucking GPU thing is.
I mean, the best thing that can happen for AI is for
blockchain?
No.
Did I hear Akash?
Is for it's like you know, someone running 5 1080s on a cache. It's like fucking AI, baby.
It's a market.
No, it's for AMD to come in with like some competition.
Because Intel's working on it too.
Or Intel, they're coming along with GPUs now. But you know, at the moment there's just no competition. And yeah, I mean, really, like, you want more than just AMD, because currently, like, AMD and Nvidia have just had a duopoly in the graphics card market for, you know, decades. They've only got to beat one person, right? So AMD's always been a little bit cheaper because their stuff's always been a little bit shittier. It's changed sort of in the last like 5 or so years. They've sort of caught up to the pace a little bit and they go blow for blow. But even still, they're always still a little bit cheaper than Nvidia.
Yeah.
But the price doesn't move much. Like, it's still up. They're still making really good margins on those products. So they need like a third person just to shake up I think Intel really wants to be in there, and their price point shows that. And they're in like the lower to mid tier cards on the consumer side of things at the moment.
Right.
But you can definitely tell from their pricing structure that they want to be in the market and they want to be a player, and they've got, you know, the capital to sustain that as well.
My understanding is the bigger issue isn't so much the performance, it is the APIs. All the APIs for AI are built for NVIDIA because they have more mature ones. So that's what AMD really needs to catch up on. It's less hardware than it is using the hardware, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they 100% right. They need to build those features out into the games themselves. So it's the same for Intel.
I think I am going to go to bed because I literally felt myself beginning to fall.
Fuck, man. I thought you'd actually already gone to bed.
Yeah. I think I nearly fell asleep for a second. I think I might have done that thing where you sleep with your eyes open.
As soon as you stopped talking about As soon as you stop talking about blockchain, I think you start to glaze over. You start talking about AI, and you're like, "That's not. I don't give a shit." Stable coins, payments, stable coins.
It needs to be either a certain level of consensus algorithm involved, or a certain level of degenerate. There's only two things to keep my attention: degeneracy and consensus algorithms. The rest of it, is just like, this isn't spicy. I don't know what's going on. I need to get some sleep. I have to speak. I have to talk about consensus algorithms for 2.5 hours. So, yeah, it'd be
get some sleep, my guy. Take it easy.
Yeah, well,
yep, how good
put your feet up.
Yeah, I also need to finish formalizing our cartel, don't I? That node synced, but then something came up that involved need to go to hospital. So.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Speaking of, did you guys not see that there was a Game of Nodes token that just popped out on Injective?
Shit, I forgot about that.
That's news.
What the hell is the? Oh, it's on Puppet, right? Hold on.
Yeah, I'll respond to it real quick.
I think I saw it had a market cap of like $8.
No, sir. Much higher. Like it's like $13.
Do you think putting .fun as your domain just gives you can just do anything then?
Who did this?
I think legally the answer is yes.
That's right.
So as a completely
$70 mark,
as a completely random aside, by the way, I'm on my third round of ethical approval on trying to do some interviewing of validators, which there's a whole bunch of stuff as well as like some conflict of interest stuff that makes it difficult, but there isn't much academic literature on interviewing node operators, as you can imagine, about how things actually work in the real world. So it's actually like a quite interesting organizational and cybersecurity question. It turns out massively ethically complicated to get through because, of course, validators are basically an uncontacted tribe of.
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, like
that's the way I feel sometimes.
What is it? Like around the fucking bush and shit. Like,
I mean, when you start filling in the form and you're like, "What are the potential consequences of you know, like discovery of opinions and ideas and cultural norms within this group?" And you're like incalculable damage to these neckbeards when they discover there's an outside world outside of the couch and the server rack. Like,
once they start becoming introspective, what'll happen?
It'll be like that. What's the film where he goes to the edge of the dome and then he opens the door? Truman Show. It'll be like the Truman
Show.
The Truman Show. But I have in my back pocket, if it all goes to shit and I can't get it through ethics approval, I was just like, wait a minute. I could just start a blockchain with three nodes that's running WASM, make V0. Put the questionnaire on there and then just tell people, "Oh, create an anonymous account, fill in the questionnaire." Then the data would be not on Google Forms, not on whatever. It would be legally in the public domain and then admissible in a project. Although, you know, this is, we're getting into potentially ethical problems of like, why did you circumvent the ethics procedure by launching a blockchain and a token?
If you put the words incentivized test on any form, validators are input their kids' names and birth dates and social security numbers and like their car VINs and their fucking license numbers or passport numbers.
That would be the best way to bust it.
How many tokens is it?
Infraction, wouldn't it?
What do you want to know? Here's my bank password.
Have people been compensated for their time in any way that might compromise the study? Oh, yeah, we gave them shit coins. Can you imagine?
You can just say, people were told they would be compensated for their time.
If that was like in the appendix for an academic paper, oh, yeah, well, by the way, we got these results by giving the recipients shit coins because we launched a token. Don't worry, it's probably not traded. Don't worry, that's probably not illegal yet because the government is currently in flux.
You're like, wait, did you say, were they compensated or were they told they would be compensated?
Important distinction.
I think
it's an important distinction.
Both
they were not compensated. Problem. Let me tell you, nobody here was compensated.
Well, here's the fun thing. One of the incentivized testnets we just joined, they had to put out an announcement of like, listen, the Google Sheet, we don't want your physical address. Stop giving us your physical address. because they're asking for the validator address.
So there must be some
really
knowledgeable validators then.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Cream of the crop. Cream of the crop.
You know, I was saying to somebody else the other day that you know, that one of the difficulties about trying to do research in this area is that actually, like, I've been doxxed. Like, people know who I am. Like, a lot of other people know. I mean, yeah, on this show, I think I've been doxxed as well, like, enough times by particularly by Jake. But, like, you have to reveal yourself and your, like, university information, affiliation, contact details and stuff like that to do studies. And I was like, I was trying to explain to people, I was like, whoa, I mean, validators, like, we sometimes don't know each other till we meet face to face. And sometimes we don't, you know, ever meet and whatever. And they were like, but why? And I was like, well, and they were like, but don't you all basically, you must have company wrappers and things. It's like, yeah. And you legally probably have to list them on your website. Yeah. So people can look up your business address or like your registered accountants or whoever it is that files your company information. Oh yeah. So you guys aren't anonymous. No. So then why don't you tell each other your names? Look, back up. We don't tell each other. It's all very anonymous. And they're just like, are you guys cosplaying? And you're like, no, we're not. It's actually very anonymous and crypto-y and like very like important and clever and
we just don't want the cyber police involved. And,
that's right.
Consequences, yeah. We need them to remain the same.
And they were like, it doesn't really sound like any of you are very anonymous at all. And I'm like, no. Yes. No. Yes. Basically, yes. Yes. Basically, we're cosplaying. I'm sorry. We're just cosplaying. That's what we're doing.
Somebody just bought 0.6 injective. That was you, Armo. I'm disappointed. I was expecting about 36 or 40 injective, but we'll take it. We'll start. I need to do it. I'm hopping in this today.
All right.
Let's get this thing over a cent.
I am actually going to go.
Hey, nice. buy some goon before you go.
While your
decision making is poor.
it is poor. No, I'm gonna have a slice of toast because then my decision making will be excellent.
Nah, bad idea.
Do you guys have goon in your respective countries?
We have goons.
Like a goon sack.
I'm really tired. Sorry, I'm really, really tired. I nearly ended the stream
on, then. Fuck
rather
off.
Than leaving. So I'm just gonna go.
Is that what Null did that one time? That's what Null did when he's in Denver, remember?
That was so funny. That was hilarious.
Like, I'm leaving. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Just ended the whole fucking stream.
Like, shit, we're done.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, then. Hey, end of financial year coming up in Australia.
Is it? Super exciting, right? Yeah. Tax time?
Oh, get to pay tax, baby.
$0. What do you got to do? You got to pay on holdings or something? Is that what it is?
You got to make money to pay money around here. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, oof, yeah. Yeah, we don't talk about my tax strategy over here. So,
we have talked about it.
Government's watching.
You know, have talked about tax strategy.
Yeah, but, you know, exciting times. You got to get all your ducks in a row, try and figure out what the fuck just happened for the last 12 months and, mm-hmm. Get out your beans, push them all to the side there, and see if you made any money.
You have to do your abacus.
Your abacus?
The abacus, yeah. Or just the sacks of beans, put them in their little circles, depending on what happens.
So what's the goon thing you're talking about? What?
Goon sack. Yeah, it's in Australia. You know, your box wine? It comes with the little silver bladder inside.
Yeah.
So in Australia we call that a goon sack, and the wine that's in a goon.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what goon stands for, but it's not tasty.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. Robert knows what I'm on about. Yeah, but you know, you can double them up as a pillow after you're done, and the, just pull out
the
stuff
empty sack.
Yeah. Blow it back up.
Cork it up. Blow it back up.
Cork it up. What kind of goon sacks do you guys have? They got a fucking cork in it.
There's no cork in it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a tap. I've seen handbags that you can fit a goon sack into. It's got the little nozzle under a little flap down the bottom. So while you're doing your groceries, you can just like fucking get a little hit.
That's like the most Australian thing you've ever said on the show.
Oh, yeah. Man, you haven't experienced life until you've seen like some, you know, 40-something woman in the grocery market getting a hit on her handbag.
a little straw sticking up. Speaking of that, should we bring some goon sacks? And so next week, God, I'm going to see you guys on less than a week, right?
What the hell? Oh, yeah, baby. 5 days
or something. Yeah.
Coming to America.
Coming to America. Yeah. Look at that. I signed up for a shitload of Luma things that are slowly coming in. I'll put a list together. I'm going to create a list for you guys so we can, we should at least try to, if there's some things we can go to the same thing. But I went through like a couple different Excel lists and I invited myself to everything. So
I have been like just denied so much.
I haven't got denied yet. I'm still on a bunch of wait lists and I have gotten approved for a couple things, but it's kind of like coming and going. We'll see. And then I need to send you guys, info for the place and everything else too, because I get there.
Oh yeah. The compound.
Oh yeah. Where are we staying? Oh yeah.
I think, I think me and, Silk Nodes are getting,
I need to send it to Bosco too. Yeah.
Early.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll send that, funny story. I booked a hotel for the 27th, right? Mm-hmm. And, I don't know how I managed to do this, but I booked it for the 27th of July.
Okay. You should be able to find a hotel easy, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it took a couple of goes, but I emailed them and they changed it to May. But
that's good.
Quite some time out there.
And I think maybe less than a week ago, I realized I didn't have a flight, so I took care of that. So now I can actually show up. That's good.
My God, smart. Man. Are you hiring smart. A car? No?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I think we could Uber it everywhere if we need to. And the place we got is pretty close to downtown. So, and there's those fucking bikes everywhere, too. There's both,
the airport's
like, regular,
pretty close to downtown, too, right?
It can't be too far. I don't remember off the top of my head. So it's got to be less than 20 minutes, maybe.
So yeah,
it's not like Denver. It's not like Denver where you're in the car for a fucking hour.
Yeah, we'll have to discuss. I'm staying pretty close to the airport on the 27th, so I'll probably be in that area when you rock up anyway. So we'll probably meet up.
28th, I think we can't get in the house until like 3 and all that kind of good stuff. It depends. Are we going to do a game of nodes next week is the real question. Are we going to try to put something together?
Kind of depends on what's going on.
we always say we're going to, and then we're like, nah, we got other stuff going on.
It's late at night. I'm probably just going to be drunk anyway. And also not going to have like any kind of decent equipment, so it'll just be like,
yeah,
you know, like in those scenes where, you know, in their own head they're like, it's all fucking good,
and we could just like
they're on their microphones and they're doing their podcast and fucking and then like in reality it's just like everyone's in their room going it was just like that. Yeah.
Maybe we'll just live
stream. That was the best podcast ever. We'll just be like,
maybe we'll just live stream ourselves from the liquor store. Maybe that's kind of more on brand, I think, maybe.
Yeah,
live stream.
Texas guns.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Uncredited just said, make sure you shoot some funds. That's a pretty good idea. Actually, there's some great ranges in Austin. So maybe one day we have to break away from this crap and go get some barbecue and go shoot something. That's always
So I'm going to be eating a lot of barbecue. A lot. I went and got a bit of a. I went and disappointed myself on the weekend with some local barbecue, so I'm good to go now.
Yep, I know. Yep.
Yeah, there agreed. Is.
I know we have a plan for. We have one small plan, but I think it would be good to. We gotta get a barbecue plan going for sure.
Well, 100%. friend of the show suggested we go to the Alamo. I don't know, has anyone been there?
I have been.
Yeah, and.
Yeah.
Is it a non-event or?
I'd rather go and get barbecue somewhere. But it's cool.
Some guns.
It is a piece of Americana history. And since you're not from here, and it is also not very impressive. So you're like, why do we come all this way? but I've heard something we could definitely do.
Yeah,
something we could definitely do.
Are you going back home like as soon as event finish situation?
Saturday.
Do you know what I'm going to be excited about this year? Not fucking dying from like altitude poisoning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That sucked last time.
It's going to be hot though. That'll be the balance, but it will be.
It'll hot be I can do. Fucking yeah. Altitude poisoning I cannot do.
Agreed. The air is thick.
Yeah, it was that, man, thick. Denver was so fucked. It coming off like a 18-hour flight or like a 20, yeah. I think it was like a 25-hour travel day into like that altitude and then trying to go and like meet people and do biz dev, I was just like fucked for the whole week. I think I was sick as well. Then we went to that fucking other mountain and was like, fucking kill me.
Yeah, you're gonna have a bit of a time zone change, aren't you? You should be all right
though. Yeah, I'll be lagged out for a couple of days probably. But
just drag your ass.
I don't know. Hopefully shit. Well, at least I'll only be battling one demon. I won't be like, you know, jet lag and fucking altitude poisoning. So
yes.
That was totally so agree. Funny. All those people walking around with the cans.
The cans. That was what, 2 years ago. That was 23, right? So we went to Denver and that was fine. And then we drove up to Breckenridge. There's a bunch of us that went up there and we went to dinner that first night. If you remember, we got there a little bit in the afternoon or something, right? And we got places and we were like, hey, let's go to this dinner. We knew the cool little steak place, something else. It was like kind of old town type of thing, which is great. And we went to the gas station beforehand. We saw those canisters like sitting around and we were like laughing about it. Like, what the hell is this? Like, you got fucking sucking oxygen and everything. We're like, we walk right past them. Right. And then somebody had them at dinner. Like somebody had one or two and we were like, I took a hit off it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, why would it? Like, I don't understand. And like, you're right. Like 4 hours later, I'm like, fuck, I should have bought one of those fucking cans. Just laying in bed. Like, God damn it. Those fucking cans. Like I would pay $1 million for, like, first I was like, who would pay $10 for air? And then I was like, I would pay $1,000 for one of those things right now.
Well, I was like,
that steak place was really funny.
Yeah. The place was cool. You, like, cook your own, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fun. So the way it works is there's this big old grill. It was probably what? 4 feet by 6 feet or so.
Easy. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Bunch of people standing around all cooking their steaks on the grill. There was so much judgment being thrown around. I was just like basking in it. All these like, guys being like,
I'm looking at this guy like,
you flipped your steak too early. Yeah, I was just like, oh man, this is glorious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was, the flame there should was, be, your steak shouldn't be on fire.
So it's okay for it
to be.
And judgment.
There's lots of advice.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, you know, I personally don't think a lot of the advice being thrown around was very good.
I agree.
There are a lot of steaks being flipped too early and, you know, definitely noticed some steak that was on there too long.
Yeah.
You know, strictly speaking.
I don't think it was in our group, but somebody was literally on fire. I was like you can have flames touching it, but the thing itself should not be on fire. Like that's usually a
bad ideally. You gotta move it. It's not, this move isn't a marshmallow, guys.
Move it up.
It's not a marshmallow. Exactly.
You can't
say you get that char. You should not have your fucking marshmallow on fire for a start.
See, now that's where I disagree. Because you light the marshmallow on fire and then you smash it between the s'mores and then it puts out the fire and then you have this perfect fireball of s'more.
Charry.
We don't do the s'more here. We just put the marshmallow on a stick and then lightly toast it instead of set it on fire like fucking napalm. I mean, essentially a marshmallow is probably just napalm, right?
S'mores aren't really a thing in Australia. Is that what you just said to me?
Yeah, we don't it's like the cookie, right? What's the s'more bits like? It's the cookie bit?
It's like a graham cracker and then chocolate and then marshmallow.
Yeah, we didn't have that shit.
Smashed together into a sandwich.
Yeah.
Wow.
None of that.
I'm hurt.
How much green am I buying?
Flame, blow out, eat crispy shell, repeat for the week. Well,
see, he likes the fired marshmallow.
You know, the problem is that once you fire it, then it's just burnt sugar. Like, I don't know. I prefer like taffy sugar, not just charcoal.
Well, whatever. We've been on this topic for too long.
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you, man.
Let me get back to how you were fucking up your steak.
That's right.
You're bringing, can you make sure it's not that shit Goonsack, man. Don't get anything white. You don't want the white Goonsack. The white wine. Fucking herbal.
No Chardonnays.
No Chard. No.
No Chard. No Pinots, Grigios, none of that shit. Fucking red.
Just Shiraz, man. They shouldn't have even bothered with the other fucking types of wine.
Like, really?
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
What?
I'm drinking a
Shiraz?
I'm drinking Australian Shiraz upstairs, and it was like, ugh. Maybe I'll bring some bottles down.
I don't know if we can be
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll bring some bottles down to like educate you.
Ooh, bottles I would appreciate cool. that. Oregon has some good wines. Oregon has some good wines. I'd like to try some variety.
Oh, man.
All my stuff's California. It's not PA.
So I need to find a bottle of Lock, Stock, and Barrel while I'm over there.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that. And I ran out of the one I had. I had a bad day.
I had a bad day. We'll have to make a liquor store run. We'll make a liquor store run at some point.
Yeah, that we'll shit's hard to find, though. I'm a little bit, I don't know. Artifact found me a bottle while he was, like, on holiday.
And should be doable.
I need a new one. But, yeah, man, looking forward to that. Not looking forward to the flight. Definitely looking forward to catching up with everyone.
What's your route?
It's just direct to LA and then LA to Austin. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately, because of the adjacent Cosmos event in Berlin, then I think we're going to be missing a few people, unfortunately. Some of the Cosmos type folk.
Yeah, of like the core Cosmos chains, yes. But I would say that there is the Tendermint Enhanced teams that are less
Cosmos centric.
Yeah. Like I see a lot of like there's you know like the Bearers and the Unions. Yep. Particle for sure. Yep. Yeah, there's a bunch of those that I think that are making some larger events there, which is cool. DYDX is a good example.
Yeah, DYDX is going to be around.
Yep. Which we are back in the set today, individuals.
Yeah, after
Boon tokens and stick with Rhino on DYDX. Yeah, it's a good 6 months hiatus.
Yeah,
we had a angel benefactor of sorts.
Yeah, and
haven't missed a block.
5.0 upgrade incoming. It's coming. The slinkiness.
Yeah,
that'll be an interesting upgrade.
I need to set up a testnet node, don't I?
And you need to set up your mainnet Slinky as well.
Yeah, I mean once
get those metrics flowing.
Jake is going to Berlin.
Jake's going to Berlin. Come on, man! What is that like? One day? Surely you've got some. Just come the next day over to Aston.
Yeah, Aston.
Yeah, he should do better.
It'd just be better, man.
Fucking Game of Notes judgment coming down. Jake, just be better.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm the Aston.